Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee. Didn't sound real good, did it?
No, I'm Adam Van Wee, in case you didn't hear that.
What's left of him or whatever. Anyway, contrary to the popular notion among people who do weekend shows, you just heard that Howard was here. We are also here. It's the 22nd of December, and you can prove that we're live.
And we will be here next week as well.
We will be here next week, and you can again prove that we're here live, because if you pick up the phone and dial 222-8255, Alan will pick it up and hand it to us. So just remember that all those other places you might go to listen to the radio, they're probably all going to be useless over the next couple of weeks. This one, not so much.
And what would we talk about this week?
I can't think of a thing.
No.
There's so little.
I wish we didn't
news.
Have to.
Well, you know, there's an upside to the down, too, and we were just talking about that a little bit. And we're going to bring that up. And there's there's always lessons to be learned from things that happen when times are good, and probably even better lessons to be learned in times that are, shall we say, not so good. Last week, sitting here, we had no idea, of course, that this would be the week that it was. In fact, it was kind of not even really on my radar that it would be as bad as it turned out.
If anyone told me that it was on their radar that this week would be this week, they would have been lying. There's no way that you could have predicted what would happen this week. And I've actually got a lot about this for later in the show. But it's just the hardest part about today is going to be using words that are allowed to be used on the radio when describing this week. Because it was absolutely brutal.
Well, at times like this, we tend to do some things that we try to impart some wisdom to the people that we deal with, the people that we know and like, and in doing so, it kind of just refreshes our memories and attitudes about these things, too, and that usually involves us sitting down, drafting a newsletter. We do not put out a newsletter on a consistent basis. We put it out on when something cool is happening or when something very uncool is happening or whatever basis like that. Well, this week was the week.
Yeah,
and I want to read it to you, because much of what we're going to talk about today is encapsulated right here. It's not terribly short, but it's very meaningful, and we've heard some good comments about it. This was written on the 20th of December. To our valued clients and friends, politics and economics both drive the market, one short-term and often irrational, and the other long-term and fundamentally accurate. Right now, politics is trumping economics, and yes, that pun was intended. We are probably smarter to ignore politics, but it's difficult in tumultuous times like these. Nonetheless, cooler heads will always prevail, but when it will start is anyone's guess. How many of you remember when we distributed a market news blurb, which we also read here, that essentially pointed out that this is not 2007? That's economics. It wasn't all that many months ago, and our economy has only improved since then. Our politics, on the other hand, have not. Just as economics overcame political turmoil months ago, the same will happen this time. So let's look at today's politics. They include possible but unlikely partial government shutdown. Now, here we are 2 days after this was written, and it has happened. although nobody noticed.
Yeah, it really hurt this morning when I woke up.
Me too. Oh, you should keep your children inside and guns at your side and make sure that your doors are barricaded, because who knows what will happen.
It's scary out there.
Or you could just go about doing what you do anyway and not care like the rest of us. If you're outside the Beltway, who cares? Impending re-implementation of divided government, which happens in January because the idiots led by Paul Ryan and the House could not even hang on to the House of Representatives in good times. Troops apparently leaving Syria, very controversial among some people. On the fence are others, and others are saying, well, it's about time we said we're going to do something and get out, and once we've done it, we'll get out. I'll leave everybody to argue that one. I'm not going to. It's peer politics. Mueller's insidious probe of everything in Washington, D.C. I saw recently he's going to try to wind this up in February.
Already?
Yeah, exactly. This has been a real blight on the entire country. And the ongoing Trump derangement syndrome, but we repeat ourselves, because the Mueller probe and Trump derangement syndrome are essentially parts of the same thing. All right, now let's look at economics. We have record low unemployment, ongoing job creation faster than we have people to fill those jobs, wages and personal income rising at the fastest pace in over a decade, tax returns reflect the first year of actual tax cuts this next April 15th, fastest GDP growth in a decade or more, the new trade agreement USMCA replaced NAFTA, far better for us, China lowering tariffs on our cars, and they've come to the table for ongoing trade talks. Corporate profits are at record highs. Unsold home inventories are at record lows. Record holiday travel and spending is currently taking place. And gold prices are low and steady. There is no panic buying in these alternatives. Interest rate yield curve is not inverting, as people have been fearing, predicting, and lying about. The U.S. has become the world's largest oil producer. We have actual energy independence now. The leading economic indicators are strongly positive, and business and individual confidence levels are near record highs. Most of you know how much we love the term cognitive dissonance, which means that the actions of the market do not match the news of the day. The market expected the Fed to raise interest rates yesterday, that being the 19th, after all, it had been broadcast far and wide that the tightening policy was not over. Before the actual announcement, the Dow was up 350 points, but when the Fed did report it, the market tanked immediately, dropped about another 700 and something, and closed down only 351. If that makes sense to anybody, please call and explain it to us. For the past four trading days, the intraday spread, that's the difference between the high and the low readings during the trading day, has been an astounding 584 points. That renders the market completely unpredictable. Irrational activity, the political side, is temporary and fast-moving, and economics are more predictable and they evolve slowly. One thing we know for certain is that this market will reverse, and most likely when we least expect it to happen. Every day brings us close to that recovery, closer to that recovery. Well, will it start today, this week, next week, sometime in the near future? We don't know. We're forced to wait and see. Selling equities in a period such as this will guarantee that paper losses become real losses. Further, human nature renders us timid to re-enter a rising market. Leaving a couple thousand Dow points on the table is never profitable. We continually ask ourselves the operative question, what changed? The simple answer for these past few days is a resounding nothing. In response, our suggestion is to respond logically by doing no harm. It isn't easy, it isn't fun, but it is logical. Economics will emerge triumphant. It always does. We'll close with another couple observations. First, market futures have been positive every morning this week, including today, which actually reversed on Friday. That makes any tactical planning more difficult. There may be some folks who could use some tax losses before the year is over. We discussed that last week. And we'll also be covering this topic in our website, blogging right after Christmas. If any good can come out of this nonsense, saving a few bucks on taxes would be a bright spot. Better news is on the way. Meanwhile, enjoy the holidays with family and friends. This too will pass. We'll be right back with the market wrap. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question, as usual, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Give Ken a call at 636-7888, and that is area code 904. Today's tax topic, I'm doing taxes each show this month, all five of them. This week's is on itemized deductions. So our trivia question revolves around itemized deductions. We know that the Congress... the new tax law, one of the congressional goals was to reduce the number of people who itemize, and they succeeded. Last year, 2017 and before, the average number of taxpayers that itemized was 30%. It is less than that today. What number, what percentage are expected this year to actually itemize? And I'll take it to the nearest whole percent. All right, the market, and by the way, lines are open, 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255, something I don't give out often enough. Let her rip and try to keep from crying.
So, words I would use to describe this week: ridiculous, unjustified, stupid, moronic, asinine. The list goes on. There's not a single thing that happened this week that would justify what the market did. And yet, here we are. It's just got to be political. That's the only conclusion we can draw at a time like this. There's a huge disconnect between what's happening in the market and what's happening in the real world. And it looks like we have a caller.
The rules of the Van Wee Financial Hour. Callers first. Good morning, George.
Yeah, good morning. You guys have hit the nail, right on the head about the economy being good and people in government and other places making a mess of the stock market. And I had many jobs as an engineer and even as a tech working my way through school. But one of the most important one was tuning loops, controlling temperatures, pressures, mm-hmm. flows, mm-hmm. Let's say the interest rate. And I think the Federal Reserve is full of a ship of fools. One guy in Korea in the middle of the night decided he's going to change all my tunings, and the petrochemical plant almost blew up. And I came in, they called me in, and I just tore him a new one. And when you make too many adjustments and make them too big, depending on what the real world is, things go bad. And the Federal Reserve should be raising interest rates, but about 60% the speed that they are now.
We agree, and you know we've long supported raising rates, but I also have said for the last couple of weeks that I think even though the Fed has no obligation to even consider the stock market, I thought, again, cooler heads might prevail, and just taking a pause, letting the market react appropriately was a good idea. He didn't do it, so now we know more about him than we did before, but here's what bothers me, George. It was unanimous.
Right. Well, here's what really bothers me. If they jack the market around enough and throw us into a recession, and it won't be a real recession from the standpoint of how good the economy is, it will hurt the owners of the Federal Reserve, which are big banks.
Exactly.
And then they won't be able to loan money for cars and houses and businesses. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to go in there and give them a Dutch uncle talk.
And let's take it one more step. When Powell made the announcement, he also downgraded his growth projections. He downgraded them from, I believe it was 2.3 to 2.2. If you already think that your actions to date have caused the market or the growth of the economy to slow back under 3%, why are you tightening more?
Absolutely. My grandfather and his friends, after 1929, formed a bank, and he lectured me again and again and again when I was alive, watch what the Federal Reserve is doing, see if it's logical, if they act like they have common sense. If they don't, pull out of the markets. We did about a month ago. But it's, I mean, with all the other things you need to look at, what the government does and what the Federal Reserve does, which is a quasi-government organization, are some of the most important things. They shouldn't be.
They shouldn't be.
Have common sense, do the right thing, make the economy keep going. I don't care if it bounces a little bit, but good grief, this is crazy.
It's nuts. It really is. Yeah. And I don't think Trump helped the situation at all by attacking Powell. He kind of painted him into a corner in such that if he hadn't raised rates, it would have looked like he was just doing what Trump wanted, and that's the last thing that someone in his position can look like. They're a stooge for the president. Even if they are, they can't look like that. So
right. Well, the important thing to do was to have gone over to his office, brought him over to the White House and in a closed meeting and said, look, this is what's going to happen if we kind of keep things stable, and this is what's going to happen if we bounce things around.
Yep.
And can I have your help to deal with this?
Yep.
And then go to his bosses, the heads of the banks, and say, look, let's make this thing work.
Exactly.
You nailed it, George. You and I have been talking a long time, and for that whole time, I don't remember any compliments that you nor I have ever paid to the Fed.
Right.
What can you say? Would you like to take a shot at the trivia?
Oh, that one I don't know, but I will tell you one thing that was important for people who need a 1040. The IRS has not written out a 1040 yet.
Oh, isn't that special?
The only place you could find the short form 1040 was on Forbes. I did a search. And it's the short form that Trump wanted with less complicated stuff in it.
Right.
And all over that article it says, don't use it. This is just a draft, and we don't know what we're going to do with this thing.
That's special.
Well, that's
isn't
all right.
It?
I'm just going to grab the nearest postcard I can and fill it out.
I could do that maybe now,
but this is when I checked last, it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Well, they're eliminating.
I needed the thing to fill out a WP-4, line 3, which is how much extra money do you want to throw into this thing,
and
so you don't have to pay taxes.
They're eliminating the 1040 easy and things like that. They're trying to get it all consolidated into one and leave it to them.
And, 1040A, the easy, and all these are supposed to now be called the 1040, but they don't have the thing finished.
And we can chuckle about it, but we can't possibly be surprised.
Nope.
Right.
Anyway, do you want to take a shot? Number? Just pull out
number
from there.
No, I can just, out of the, and the question was.
And what percentage of taxpayers are expected to itemize for the year 2018?
I don't know, 20 or something. I have no idea.
Still too high. Yep.
Yeah.
But you've cut the bracket down. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Merry Christmas. Talk to you soon.
Merry Christmas to you, and keep doing the right thing.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Good morning, Pat.
Hi there. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Fine, thanks. On a bright, crisp morning.
It is nothing if it's not crisp. You're right about that. What's on your mind?
My guess is 18%.
Still too high.
They
have done what they set out to do, and the pitfalls of that, you'll have to listen to the second half of the show to hear.
Yeah, I, for one, am really happy about it, and I'll explain why when we
Oh, there's
go over
always
the
good news, but I'm looking out ahead, and I'm saying be very wary.
It definitely changes your tax strategies.
It definitely does. But we got some strategies. We will be in that. It might take till the fourth segment of the show, but I'm going to be talking about that kind of thing. But we appreciate the call. You have a Merry Christmas.
Hold on. What did you want me to ask?
Getting some background. Good morning. What's up?
Well, I talked to Adam a little bit yesterday. I just want to zone in on a specific item. Marco Rubio wrote an article in The Atlantic, and among other things, he said, well, we need to regulate these companies that want to do stock buybacks. Can you just comment, why would you want the federal government telling companies what to do with their money?
Okay, I'm going to give you the shortest explanation that I can come up with. I don't. End of discussion.
Excellent.
Yeah, do you think I'm a little wishy-washy on this point?
That's right.
No. Rubio is the strangest politician. He sometimes he couldn't be elected dog catcher, and other times he's the great hero.
It's so true. He is one. So at times I really like him, and then other times he leaves me shaking my head.
He single-handedly bumped the tax credit up for people who were losing their individual credits of 40, I think they were going to be 4,100, their right. exemptions. And he got a lot of that back all by himself. He went directly to Trump and said, look, this is what we got to do. And Trump did it. And a lot of people with kids are much better off than they would otherwise be. That makes him a hero.
I remember you all talking about that at the time.
Yep. And then he does something like this.
Exactly.
It's just incomprehensible, Lane. Absolutely
it's
incomprehensible.
It's a judgment thing. You know, his ability to make sound judgments, I wonder if he's just, you know, weather-vaning to the prevailing wind.
I kind of think that he's one of those weather-vane politicians.
That seems appropriate.
Are you a Bob Dylan fan?
Sort of. I'm old enough.
There's a line that I like to think about that has to do with politics and people like him. It says, don't take a weatherman to know which way the wind blows.
Very good. Excellent. Well,
love it.
That was all I had for this morning. All
right.
Fantastic.
I am in the process of reading and responding to the article that you and Adam talked about, so I'll get back to you. It'll probably take me a day or two. You have a wonderful Christmas, and give the dogs a hug.
Merry Christmas. Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a little break. Adam will come back with the market wrap, and then we'll get into some tax-related items that there may be less than 18% of you out there that are going to be affected by this, but maybe not, too, because there's some things that other people can do that you might not have considered. So when we come back, we will get back into it, and as much as we don't like it, having to talk about it, it's more important to talk about it when things are bad than it is to talk about it when things are good. I am also going to start up the next segment with a little Christmas humor. It's very short and very cute, and you'll like it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the trivia question is still open. Prior to the recent tax law, 30% of taxpayers were itemizers. It is expected this year to drop to some percentage below 18. So all you got to do is get it plus or minus one. All right, I promised you a little Christmas humor. Here goes. Joseph. No rooms? Dude, she's about to give birth to humanity's savior. Innkeeper. Sorry, we get real busy around Christmas time. Joseph. Around what time? The look on his face. Oh, I got it from both sides, Alan, too. I thought it was cute, and it's clean enough to do on the radio.
Yeah.
All right, well, good humor is a good way to precede what you're about to say.
Yep, that's true. About the fact that we are not on the brink of a recession. And why do I know this? Because I know this because every time you turn on the TV, some moron is on there telling you we're on the brink of a recession.
Proof positive.
And if there's one thing that all of the previous recessions have in common, it's that there was no morons on the TV telling you that we were on the brink of a recession. Because if it was that easy to predict, everyone would know about it, get out of the market, and wait it out. But that's not how it happens. In 2007, everything was rosy. The world was, you could make money by just throwing it in a house and waiting 6 months and selling it. It was so easy. Everything was great. No one, it would never end. And then, boom, one day it ended and everyone got stuck with a house that was overvalued and they lost a ton of money. That's how recessions happen.
Mm-hmm. And some famous economist once pointed out that anything is unsustainable will stop.
That is also true.
Good morning, Megan.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, great. Megan.
How are you?
Doing fine. I wanted to see if I could take a crack at the trivia question.
Of course.
No charge for you.
I'm thinking it's going to be around 15%.
Ooh, so close, but still too high.
Oh, darn.
Like I said, they accomplished their goal, didn't they? But you're in the ballpark, but we now have an even tighter range, so a good shot at it. Are you all settled in, ready for Christmas, shopping done and all that?
Yes, sir.
Good. Well, you have a wonderful time, and come see us one of these days.
Will do. Have a great day.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Good morning, Don.
Hey, Van Wee.
How are you?
I'll cheer you guys up.
Oh, somebody's got to.
I'll listen to y'all. Y'all make me want to cry.
That's not our goal, but and we apologize.
What can you say?
I won't tell you what kind of Christmas I've had already.
Already?
I had a little one-year-old, and I had a little three-year-old with me shopping.
Okay.
2 days in a row. And I put it in the cart, and I pointed to the toys on the floor. Oh, boy, did they have fun.
Looking at it through the eyes of a child is always an improvement.
That does help.
Yes, it does. We love it.
I had a lot of $50 bills in my pocket 2 days ago.
I bet they're all
no
gone.
No more, huh?
And I told them, I said, get what you want. And they did, buddy.
Well, I hope that contributes to the economic well-being of the country so these idiots on Wall Street will understand that things are good. Thank you very much.
And I want you to know those stores were full of good-looking young women. And they were out there buying, so they all go have a good Christmas.
Is this a great country or what?
Yeah, you know. You want me to tell you what Christmas is all about?
Sure.
You spend your money. Enjoy yourself.
That's maybe the unfortunate side or one of the reasons that is probably short of the top level reason.
Well, that's my favorite part is making my kids happy.
I want you to know that them two youngins made my Christmas.
Nice. I'm glad to hear it, and yeah. I feel the same. I have two of them myself, and I spent way too much money on them, and I'm really happy about it.
Well, Merry Christmas to you,
too. Same to you.
Get all the airways.
Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas to all. All right, Adam. If they could just hear the discussion that we've had in both of the breaks. Everything's already been said,
yeah,
except that they didn't hear it, so it's time we fill them in a little bit.
As I was saying, there's a reason that all the headlines right now say, trader who predicted 2008 crash says the world is ending. Why does that guy have any credibility? Because he was one of the very few people that predicted that crash, right? Mm-hmm. If everyone predicted it, it wouldn't be special that he was one of the ones who did, and there were just a handful of people that saw that coming. Yep. So that is the reason I know that we are not headed towards a recession right now. There's other reasons as well, but that's the big one. There's just a lot of fear out there, and a lot of people are and algorithms are taking advantage of that fear. We said it on the show about, I think it was 3 weeks ago, Chuck called in and said, you know what, I think we need one more 30-plus VIX day to flush everyone out of the market. Yep. Guess what the VIX was on Friday? Just over 30. So I mean, I don't know that we're there yet. There's probably not. The futures are down 520 points right now. Not surprising based on the week we had. But it will happen. Everyone will get flushed out, and those algorithms are going to see it, and they're gonna hit the buy button, and it is going to be equally, I think, violent going up as it was coming down.
We should mention that despite everything you hear on the 24/7, 365 super media, we are not in a bear market.
The NASDAQ is.
But that's a subset, a small subset.
Right.
The Dow is, but that's only 30 stocks.
Mm-hmm.
You define a bear market by the broad market, the S&P 500 being the usual indicator, and it is not down 20% yet.
And also, I want to remind people that a bear market does not mean that we are in a recession. So mm-hmm. The two things are not even related. I mean, they sometimes coincide, but you can have a bear market and not be in a recession. So just remember that. If we do hit that, 20% is just a psychological number. Mm-hmm. It's really, in the great scheme of things, it's meaningless.
Right.
It's arbitrary. But
I expect that there's a very good chance, probably stronger than 50-50, that the S&P will fall to the 20%.
I expect it, but
I won't be surprised either.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything except that the current bull market would be over by definition.
And it will. And if you look at it, it could happen intraday.
Yeah, that's true.
If you remember, as I do, like it was yesterday, March 9th, 2009, what happened that day was the market opened up and shot down. But then it kind of hesitated, and then it started rising. And that was the beginning of a 9.5 year bull market.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's going to be the same kind of day that we're going to have in all likelihood. I don't think you're going to see it with, oh, the futures are up 500 a day. They open up big and they keep going. That's not how these things usually work. The program traders will get down to a certain level, and those computers who are nameless, faceless, and emotionless will hit the buy button. And if you're not there, you're going to get left behind.
No doubt about it.
This market is 16% undervalued based on the long-term averages that start from 1990 and go up to today. 16%, the S&P is undervalued.
Yeah, honestly, last week, equities were oversold. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, we're not, I don't even know if there's a term for it, hyper oversold or whatever that might be.
Ludicrous.
Yeah, exactly.
Overselling.
I have some other stuff, but we're running short on time.
Maybe a little bit. Start shooting it out.
So I wanted to – we buy some research from a team called Bespoke. They're based out of New York. They're excellent. They had a really good piece today, and I wanted to go into that. Since 1940, there have only been 8 months that have declined more than what December has declined already. Those came during the 1987 crash, the month that included Black Monday, the Asian Tigers blew up in 1998 – in May of 1940, when Germany invaded France, the tech bubble, a couple of months during the bear markets of the 1970s, and then again in the crash of 2008. So what do all those things have in common? There was some huge turbulent events taking place either in the U.S. or in the world, and that drove the markets down. What is happening right now that would cause this to happen? If it's out there, we don't see it.
A partial government shutdown?
A quarter point rate hike?
Interest rates that are still historically low?
I mean, the China situation is the only thing out there big enough to cause this. And I'm going to talk about that when we get back from the break. But there is just no way that either President Trump or the Chinese can allow that to happen.
No, and this is all about saving face and that sort of thing with them. That's not it. This is program trading and, as I said, emotionless, nameless, faceless computers that are balancing their books out for a big run-up so they can look like heroes and get their bonuses again. Is it going to happen before the end of the year? It wouldn't surprise me either way. I won't even begin to predict. We'll just call it a possibility. All right, well, we'll come back. Adam will wrap up a few things, and I'm going to do a little bit more on the itemized deductions, and that'll be it. So don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Give Troy a call at 662-9794. Good morning, Marshall.
Gentlemen, good morning. And you guys are live and in audible color.
Yes, absolutely. And in good spirits despite the market.
Well, and a very Merry Christmas to both of your families.
And right back at you.
Y'all add so much to our Saturday mornings and cause us to at least once a week think seriously.
Well, thanks, thank you.
That's our goal.
How about 13%?
How about you are right? Absolutely, yeah. Dead on. You didn't even need your plus or minus one. They managed. They cut it from 30 to 13.
I have a feeling a lot of people advanced this year's deductions into last year.
Mm-hmm.
And are thinking about they're going to go standard this year and then jump into next year with the year-end stuff. And
part of what I'm going to get to, which may or may not actually happen today, I don't know, but it will certainly happen next week if it doesn't, is talking about doubling up deductions to see if you can go every other year as an itemizer.
So the problem with that,
okay,
though.
Okay, well, now I'm going to add a burden to you.
Okay, shoot.
Y'all are a great example, which is a rare one, of father and child working together.
That is true.
what appears to be in a pleasant manner.
It is.
So, does again, it?
As long as he does it my way.
As long as he agrees with everything I say.
That's doing it my way, then.
It works. Y'all take care. Thanks.
Marshall, thanks so much. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
So the thing about the doubling the deductions, that sounds great until you realize that the biggest way you can do that is property taxes.
I know.
How did they get you there? SALT deductions.
Yeah,
so you only have
right.
10 grand. So
but
if
I'm
you
talking
have
about the people
property
who have,
tax bill,
if your property taxes are 5 grand...
Yeah, you can slide it in,
mm-hmm.
but
you're going to also need to be very charitable. The medical mm-hmm. deductions are going away, but I'll get into all this. You wanted to wrap up a little bit. By the way, don't forget we have Marshall's address. Don't forget that he's the
one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I want to talk a little bit about China. Listen, Trump has, since he was elected, he has touted the stock market for better or for worse. We think it's for worse, but he didn't call us for our advice. But he has touted the stock market performance as a result of his economic policy.
I just assumed we missed the call.
Maybe. I was busy that day. But this is causing him to lose more sleep than it's causing even us. And we're losing a lot of sleep.
That is
so
definitely the truth.
He hates this.
Yes.
He needs to get this Chinese thing wrapped up yep. to be able to tout stock market performance again. And on the Chinese side, they have a serious economic interest in keeping the United States happy because we're their biggest customer.
Yep.
So there's just no way that they allow this to escalate into a full-blown global trade war. And Europe, to a lesser extent, kind of the same thing. We want to keep them all happy. They want to keep us happy for the same reasons. And I just don't see it happening. And that is the biggest risk out there right now. And I don't think it's a real risk.
Yeah, you got a classic look at what's wrong in Europe when the EU withdrawal, Brexit,
yeah,
kind of fell apart because it wasn't really a Brexit. It was a stupid agreement that basically said they're out and then they're subject to everything for 2 years.
Right.
That is not what people voted for, folks.
No, they want out.
Yes, they want absolutely out.
So lastly, just a couple of economic data points that once again showed that we are not in any trouble. GDP was revised down from 3.5 to 3.4% growth, making it still the second highest GDP in the last 4 years. So they talk about slowing growth in the U.S., and I can't figure out what they're talking about because, yes, it's lower than it was last quarter, but it's still higher than the last 4 years. Yeah. I mean,
why do we want to go back to the 2% days?
No, we hated that, the new normal and all that. No, we don't want that. 3% would be great.
Yeah, that's what Trump ran on. And now Powell's undermining it, and I don't get it.
No, I don't either. So
now, if he said that he's trying to cool it from what he expects to be 5 to 4,
yeah,
I'd say God bless America.
And if it were, if he were saying, like, we need to tackle inflation because it's out of control.
But it isn't.
It's not at all.
I told Adam, we've been watching the gold and silver. If people were truly afraid of what's going on, you would see a flight into gold and silver, the alternative assets that are storehouses. In the last week, silver rose 1.35%. Gold rose 1.35%. Silver rose 0.3%.
Mm-hmm.
There is no flight into the metals right now. That means this is temporary. All that money that came out of the market is sitting in the money market waiting to pounce.
Yep, for sure. So additionally, personal income rose 0.2% in November, outpaced by personal consumption, which rose 0.4%. I mean, we are Americans after all. If you make it, you got to spend at least double what you just got the increase on. And existing home sales rose 1.9% in November, but are down 7% in the last year. However, if you dig in the data, a lot of that's due to lack of supply, which
yep.
sits at 3.9 months. Historically, anything below 5 months is a tight housing supply. So that's a really tight housing supply. Yep. There just isn't inventory out there for people to buy. And then housing starts also increased by 3.2%. Down 3.6 versus a year ago. Still, I don't see a big housing bust out there right now.
Now, the data points are great. Interpreting them is important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, it's something of an art form, I guess. All right, for those of you who are in the 13%, we now know will itemize, chances are very good. We most of our clients we've talked to no longer have a reason mm-hmm. to itemize.
Me neither.
Now, that is in the short term. a good thing. Now, what might make you itemize? Medical expense deductions. You can deduct the part above 7.5% of your adjusted gross income, which is the same as it was for people over 65. It's actually down from the 10% floor for people who are under 65. And that goes for this year, and it goes for 2019, and then it disappears. And those of you who listen to me a lot understand I have been calling on Congress to make that permanent. The medical expense deduction affects very few people every year, and it's not the same people every year. But the people who need it are suffering the worst year economically and physically of their lives, and why not help them? The SALT deductions, state and local taxes, which we mentioned a few minutes ago, that's property taxes and so on, those are all capped at $10,000. But if you don't get to $10,000 with property taxes and state taxes, which in Florida don't exist, then you can also add in your sales taxes. And if you bought a car, a boat, or an RV, or a massive house remodel or anything, those go on top of the deductible amount for sales taxes. You might actually get there. You might not, but you got to look. Got to know what's available to see what to use. Employee business related expenses that are unreimbursed by the employer used to be deductible above 2% of adjusted gross. They're no longer deductible. Ask your employer for a reimbursement. It's deductible to the employer, and it's not taxable to you. The main planning device for small business people is income planning. Mail your invoices in January or December. If don't go to your mailbox the last day, if there are checks in it, things like that, some people can do a little bit about it. But here's my long-term concern. We're moving toward a flat tax, which has long been advocated by people like Steve Forbes, where here's how much money I made, here's the percent for you. That's the postcard tax form that people actually talk about. The problem I have with that is they're trying, and they've been doing this for a long time, they've been trying to eliminate all itemized deductions, and they're getting there one by one. Once they've got you on your gross income times what percentage, it's so easy to sneak that percentage up by a half or one, and Congress can do this, and there's no way around it if you're on a flat tax.
I can see it now. It's for education. It's for all
for the
things
children.
That people... Yep. They're going to appeal to your emotions.
Leads me to my final point of the day, aside from the part about Merry Christmas. The fair tax solves all of these. It is unfortunate that Neil Bortz retired and John Lender retired from Congress. They wrote the book on it. It is such a good idea, and it's so important, but the wind has come out of its sails to a degree. Go to fairtax.org on the internet and read up on it. And see if you aren't swayed by the logical arguments that they make in this thing. It would single-handedly, one time only, make a massive change for the better for the entire economy and for all the people who are living in it.
And if you haven't done so, get your RMD done, because if you don't, you will be facing a 50% penalty on whatever you should have taken out.
That means
if you have a $10,000 RMD, you owe an extra $5,000 in taxes. So get it done by December 31st.
Want that. And all that means is if you have already turned 70 and a half, or are you going to in the next 9 days, you're going to owe it. There are some ways, things you can do about it, but the best thing you can do is take the money, pay the taxes this year, and call it good. All right, we have to run. Merry Christmas to one and all. We will be here live next week for the post-Christmas, pre-New Year's gala, and that program will be brought to everyone with no charge. It's our Christmas present to you. All right, be good. Come back next week, same time, same station. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.